either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum washkuru li wa la takfurun. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, bifazlillah, we have nearly completed the Asma'ul Husna, the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe we have just a few of the names that are remaining, and inshallah the intention is to complete all of the names in the next few sessions of our durus. Tonight, being the 9th of Muharram, I want to speak about understanding the concept of Muharram and what we learn from Hijrah, especially three asbaq lessons that we learn from the Hijrah of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When it comes to a new year, different communities will celebrate the new year in a very different way. When it's the 1st of January, you will see firework display, a lot of music, a lot of noise, enjoyment. People are out in the streets, clapping, screaming. And this very carnival atmosphere that you will see. But when it comes to Islam, celebration is very different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives permission to celebrate only after mujahada, only after great sacrifice. So after great sacrifice comes reward. That is the time Allah gives you reward. So for an example, if we see our first Eid, Eid al-Fitr, we celebrate Eid al-Fitr. But we celebrate after a lot of mujahada. 29, 30 days of roza. And if you're in England, long roza. And it is not just roza, but also spiritually you have to control your eyes, your tongue, your ears. So there is great mujahada for 29, 30 days. Then Allah gives permission, khair. Now you can celebrate. If you look at our second celebration, Eid al-Adha, that is also after mujahada, going for hajj, tremendous sacrifice. And even if you don't go for hajj, then this lesson of qurbani, sacrificing your animal, and the first 10 days of Zilhijjah, subhanallah, a lot of worship, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we see jaddo jihad, sacrifice. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person permission to rejoice, to celebrate. That is the spirit of Islam. And so Muharram, again, is a very sacred month. What is the connection of Muharram with the Islamic calendar? Very briefly, Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ashari radiyallahu ta'ala an, sahabi, he wrote a letter to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and he said, Hazrat, Islam is now in every corner, alhamdulillah, spreading very, very fast. And so Hazrat would write letters, and so we get all your correspondence. But the difficulty is, we don't know the dates. So we get your letter, but we haven't got any dates. And so we need to sort out the Islamic calendar. This was mashwara given by Hazrat Musa al-Ashari. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said, this is very true. And we have to have a system in place so that we know the dates and the Islamic calendar can be recognized. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was that sahabi who would never take any decisions by himself. No unilateral decisions. Now he wouldn't say, bas, I am the Amir Khalifa, this is what you do and this is it, bas, nahi. And he would always take counsel from the senior Sahaba. So he gathered all of the Sahaba-e Kiram ajma'in. And you will know that the right-hand man to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an during his Khilafat was Hazrat Ali. Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Umar were very close to each other. Very close. That is why Hazrat Ali got married to the, Hazrat Umar got married to the daughter of Hazrat Ali. Got married to the daughter of Hazrat Ali. This is another topic. So all of the Sahaba were sitting and they said that we need to come up with this Islamic calendar. What is your mashwara? And so someone said, let us start from the birth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone said, no, from the nabuwat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah gave him prophethood. Someone said, no, from the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And someone said, from the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was listening to everybody. And then he said, the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to start the Islamic calendar would be difficult. Why? Because in those days, to have an accurate date of the birth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was difficult. How they would work out is that if there was an incident that occurred and they would remember through that incident. So Hazrat said that we don't actually have 100% an accurate date. And so we don't want this concept of birth also. Because this is what the Christians were doing. And then when it comes to the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said, this will only stir up emotions. This will only stir up emotions. Because Sahaba kiram ajma'in, they were ashik of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They loved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why this one lady, when she was informed that your father has passed away and has become shaheed in the path of Allah. So she paid no attention. It didn't make no difference to her. Her attitude was the same, as if she had something in her mind. And then someone came and gave her the news that your brothers have also become shaheed, she said. And then someone came and said that even your children have become shaheed. That's the whole family. Brothers, father, children, all have become shaheed. And it happens. It happens. In jihad fi sabilillah, it happens. And then she said to someone, just tell me, how is my Nabi? My concern, what is in my heart is my Nabi. How is he? And they said to her, your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sahih salim and he is very safe. And she said something ajeeb. She said, every bala and musibat after the safety of my Nabi is bearable and is easy. Every musibat can come, but as long as my Nabi is safe. Subhanallah. How far are we from this attitude? My respected brothers, my young friends that are here. We think that we are going to stay in this dunya eternally. That is what we think. When this life is very, very, very short. Very short. Allahu Akbar. These mobile phones, this connection that we have, this dunya that we see, think of that qabr when you will be completely alone. Think and do muraqabah of that first night of your qabr, of my qabr. Think of that time when it will be written on the board that so and so person has passed away. The janazah namaz will be at 2 o'clock or 2:30 or 3 o'clock or whatever. Brothers are requested to come. Think of that time. No bedrooms, no toilets, no hot water, no nothing. Tumhare kapre wo bhi nikal diye jayenge. Everything. Insan ki sab hushyari, everything what we did, all the money that we had, everything, it is at a loss. But sahabai kiram ajma'in were intelligent people. Subhanallah. Very, very intelligent person. That intelligent person is that person who knows what is right and who knows what is wrong. A fool is that person who follows the shaitan and says labbaik to him. And the shaitan is dragging him towards Jahannam and he does not know. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, even if any musibat comes to you, then put your musibah in front of my death. Because my death is the greatest tragedy upon humanity. My death is the greatest tragedy upon humanity. In fact, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke about the death of Umar ibn al-Khattab. That Umar is that door that is preventing the fitna from coming out. Umar is that door which is preventing the fitna, trials and tribulation that is going to touch this ummah. It is protecting it. He is that door. So it was said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what will happen to this door? Will someone open it or will someone break this door down? And Allah's Nabi said it will be broken down. It will be. And so we see after this, the death of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, what has happened. And so my respected brothers, sahabai kiram ajma'een were people who truly loved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we have to remove the filth that is in the mind and the heart. What is it? Remove the filth that is there. This comes from shaitan. It comes from shaitan. Shaitan is there putting the filth inside you. And when he puts the filth inside you, we become robots and we are walking in the direction of shaitan. And we don't even realize. Allah save us. So he said the birth and the death is difficult. As for Nabuwat, then again the accurate date would also be difficult. But then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, in his mind, he thought that the best choice would be the hijrat. The best choice would be the hijrat. So the final decision he took mashwara from was Hazrat Ali. He took from Hazrat Ali. So he called Hazrat Ali and he says, Ali, what is your opinion? So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an said, Hazrat, my opinion is that the best choice we have is the migration, the hijrah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an started to smile. And says, Ali, this is also what is in my heart. That the hijrah would be the Islamic calendar. So the arrival of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Madinatul Munawwara would be the first year of hijri. And so this was agreed upon And so we are now in the year 1439. What are we? So, mashallah, so many years have elapsed, and this goes all the way until Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam got to Madinatul Munawwara. So this day it was actually selected by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an and all of the companions that were there. Now what do we learn from Hijrat, migration? Hijra means the migration of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Makkah Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara. Now there are three points that I want to put in front of you that we should take with us as a lesson, as a sabak that we learn from the hijrat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Number one, when we look at the hijrat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what we see is the immense sacrifice of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions. And so as believers in this dunya, we should also be prepared to give mujahada and sacrifice. What is the meaning of sacrifice? Sacrifice means that you give up something which is dear to you voluntarily for the pleasure of Allah. Voluntarily for the pleasure of Allah. That is sacrifice. Yeah, sometimes you don't have a choice and you are in that situation where you have to do certain things, then, okay, that is also accepted. But doing it voluntarily, mujahada. You are sleeping and mashallah, and you wake up and you see it's 2 o'clock, and you want to sleep, and tahajjud namaz is not even farz. Tahajjud is not even farz. And your nafs is saying, forget it, you know, don't wake up. What do you want to wake up? And he says, no, no, no. Out of his own will, for the pleasure of Allah, mujahada, sacrifice, he wakes up, does wuzu, and even puts in 2 rakats of tahajjud. Minimum, chalo, 2 rakats. And makes dua, and then he goes to sleep. So there are so many instances where a person can do a lot of mujahada. Let us look at the sacrifice of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what he did. Today you and I, we have Iman and we have Islam. But the problem is, as they say, ghar ki murgi dal ke barabar. What is it? Because you are born in a family of great privilege. What is it? Born in a family of great privilege. So we have not seen the hardship that is out there. We have not seen the hardship that is out there. We have always had different pillars of support from parents, from the madrasa, from our deen, from our Islam, from our system that we have, from this roof that Islam has created, from this foundation that Islam allows us to walk on, from this cleanliness, from this purity that we are so used to, that we take for granted. Subhanallah al-Azim. Not realizing how it is elsewhere. Not realizing what is happening out there. Shaitan likes to pull us there. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as he was doing his hijrat, he turned back and he looked at the city of Makkah, the city in which he was born. And he looked at Makkah and he says, oh Makkah, I would have never left you. Oh Makkah, I would have never left you. If it was not for your people that have pushed me out. If it was not for your people who have pushed me out. Oh Makkah, I would have never left you. And then Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam went towards the direction of Medina. But before going to Medina, they had taken refuge in a cave which is known as Ghare Thawr. Ghare Thawr. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we won't go into that because we don't have time. But when he went to Ghare Thawr, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, who was the khadim to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that this cave is old And there are many holes that I can see. And some of the holes are quite deep. And in the heat of the desert, never know what is inside the holes, what it can be. You can have scorpions, you can have anything. And so Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was cleaning everything out, and whatever he had, he covered it, covered all the holes. And then he noticed that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is tired. So he said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "You rest." And he positioned himself in such a way that he would see that there is one hole which is deep and also open, and he had nothing to cover it. They were musafir. And so he stretched his leg and covered it with his foot, blocking it. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had put his auspicious head on the thighs of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, just to rest on. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very tired. And so both of them were in this cave. Allah ki shan, there are different narrations, but in one narration it comes that something bit Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an. And the venom immediately entered the body of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an. Some say it was a snake. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq did not want to move so as not to disturb Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his aram. And so as the pain got intense, naturally tears came out from the eyes. And when tears came out from the eyes, it actually fell onto the cheeks of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sleeping this way, and the drops, tears fell on the cheeks of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam opened the eyes and immediately noticed that the color of the face was changing and said, "Abu Bakr, what is the matter?" And he explained, subhanallah, when you have Huzur alayhi salam, subhanallah, immediately Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the saliva and put it on the blessed saliva on the foot of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq says, instantly shifa. Instantly the pain disappeared. Instant shifa. And then the events that have been mentioned, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "O Nabi of Allah, we are standing. If the mushrikeen of Makkah were to look down towards their feet, they will immediately see us. They will immediately see us." And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Abu Bakr, these are amazing words. He said, "Ma zannuka bi ithnaini Allahu thalithahuma. Ma zannuka bi ithnaini Allahu thalithahuma. Abu Bakr, what is your opinion of the two for which Allah is the third? What is your opinion of the two with whom Allah is the third?" Can you imagine the status of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, Allahu Akbar. That Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that the two, both of us are together, this ma'iyat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. This was the jaddu jihad, the qurbani, the sacrifice of sahaba-i kiram ajma'in. Such was the sacrifice. What sacrifice do we do, my respected brothers? That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to leave his daughter in Makkah as he migrated towards Madinatul Munawwara. Because she was married to Rabi ibn Abil As. Rabi ibn Abil As. She was married. Hazrat Zainab radiyallahu ta'ala anha. She was married. At that time he was not a Muslim. Rabi ibn Abil As. And so, subhanallah, Allah ki shan, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Madinatul Munawwara, the battle of Badr took place. And when the battle of Badr took place, Muslims and the mushrikeen of Makkah were fighting. Victory was with the Muslims, and Muslims had taken the mushrikeen as prisoners. From amongst the prisoners was the son-in-law of Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rabi ibn Abi al-As. Now imagine how hard it was for Hazrat Zainab. One side it is the husband, and the other side it is the father, Hazrat Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The mashwara was that with the prisoners, what are we to do? So it was decided that if ransom can be given, then they will be free to walk. And so all of the tribes were giving money for the prisoners, but there was nobody to give money for Rabi ibn Abi al-As. Nobody came to ransom him. And so when Hazrat Zainab found out, she didn't have much. And so what she did is that she took out a necklace that was given to her by her mother, Bibi Khadijatul Kubra, radiallahu ta'ala anha. And when she gave this necklace, and she gave it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she gave it to the Sahaba, that this is in ransom for Rabi ibn Abi al-As. And these are the family of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, when the Sahaba asked that there is no one to give nothing for Rabi, and then someone said, no, there is one necklace that the wife has given, the daughter of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the necklace. This was the same necklace of his beloved wife, Bibi Khadijat al-Kubra, radiallahu ta'ala. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he picked up the necklace, and he said, this is from Khadija. This is from Khadija to my daughter. Such were the akhlaq of this great Nabi, that he said, if you people feel it is okay, then can I return this back to my daughter? Can I return this back to my daughter and allow Rabi to walk freely? Imagine this Nabi takes permission. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taking permission. And all of the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, you, whatever you say is Sharia. What you say is Sharia. And we oblige and we say Labbaik to you. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is from Khadijatul Kubra, give it back to Zainab. And he said to Rabi that you are free to go, but with one condition. And he said, I want you to allow my daughter to return back to me in Medina immediately. Where is she? In Makkah Mukarrama. And he was not a Muslim. There is no compulsion in Islam. Here you see Allah's Nabi did not say anything to him. All he said is that fine. Allow my daughter to be with me in Medina Munawwara. And this man was a good man. He says, yes, labbaik, ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he went back, and the first thing he did is preparation. And he said to Zainab that immediately go to your father. And made her sit on the animal as she mounted. But the mushrikeen of Makkah, the treacherous people that were there, badmash log, when they saw that this is the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, exiting Makkah Mukarrama, and they started mocking with her, and they started hitting her with a stick, Allahu Akbar, and prodding the animal with a stick, and this animal started moving and shaking, and she was not even sitting on the mount properly, and she fell down, and she fell down in such a way that she was also pregnant at that time. And she received and had sustained severe injuries. In fact, it is said that later on when she passed away, the ulama say she passed away because of the injuries that occurred when she fell from the camel, when she fell down. That is how she passed away. This is the qurbani, the sacrifice that that comes from the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What have we done in return to give our Nabi, our beloved Nabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What have we, what are we doing for him? What face can we show him on the day of Qiyamah? Subhanallah al-Azim. And so the first thing what we learn is that we also need to do a lot of sacrifice in this dunya. What is it? Jaddo jihad. We have to do. We have to work very, very hard. And we have to work hard for our deen. For our deen. And everybody must turn towards the deen. This is number one. The number one lesson that we learn from hijrat. Number two, what we learn is brotherhood. What is it? Brotherhood. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُ الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. The Quran says that when the Muhajireen, they came as refugees. They came as refugees to Medina. But the Quran calls them Muhajir. And these were the people Ansar. Today we live in a world in which people are racist, xenophobic. Tribalism is there. When we see someone who is a foreigner or someone who is not like us, we don't like him. Countries don't like to take refugees. But the Quran says, as for the Ansar, يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ. They loved those who came as refugees. And the Quran is shahid, they gave everything, وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَ. Even though they were more in need, but they had given everything to their brothers, Muhajireen, that had come. Subhanallah. And Medina Munawwara is the only city in the world that has opened up with Iman without any kind of an army going towards it or any da'i going towards it. In fact, when they were coming, a delegation kept on coming, and that is how they embrace Islam. And the whole of Medina Munawwara was ready to embrace Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so this brotherhood is something that is very, very important. And this is what we learn from Hijrat. When the Muhajireen came with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they had nothing. Sahaba Ansar gave everything. Business, house, wealth, money, land, property, everything was shared. Everything was given to them. And this is what we call ukhuwa. And this is what we need to understand, that we are one ummah. What are we? We are one ummah. Unfortunately, today we have this attitude. If someone treats me good, I will treat him good. I will treat him good. If somebody is good with me, I will be good with you. But if somebody is not good with me, then I will show you also who I am. These are not the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So much was given by the Ansar to the Muhajir, that when the wealth of Banu Nazir was given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam got all the Ansar and said that the wealth I have from Banu Nazir, I will give it to the Muhajireen, so the Muhajireen can repay you. The Muhajireen can. Hazrat Ubadah bin Samit from Medina Munawwara Ansari, he said as a leader that, O Nabi of Allah, give everything to the Muhajireen. We don't want nothing. We don't want. Give them even more. This was the condition. And so that is why, my respected brothers and elders, just to end these 3 points, remember what I said to you, that hijrat is a very important lesson for us. We have done hijrat. Our forefathers from India, maybe some of them went to Africa. Some of them went to Africa. And some of them are still there. And then from Africa, some of them came here. And some of them from India came directly here. And so we are muhajir to this country, hijrat. And if we want sukoon, brothers, if we want sukoon, write this down. Write this down. Read every kitab and you will find the same message. And it is enough for me to say that a scholar like Maulana Ali Mia Nadvi has said something like this. Must finished. You don't need nothing after that. After his name, you don't need nothing. We are a minority in this country, and Hazrat is saying that the only way to safeguard yourself in a country in which there is kufr all around you and there is only a minority of Muslims, it is not by just praying salah. It is not just by doing your fara'id. Your greatest farz, Hazrat said, your greatest farz is to give da'wah to the non-Muslims that are in your country. If you don't do that, if not you, then your children, that generation will suffer. Or their generation, or the children's children generation will suffer. But you will for sure suffer, because this is the sunnah of Allah. If you don't give da'wah to the community that is out there, then you will suffer. That is why, abhi se ahad kar lo, mere azizo, that inshallah hum sab yahan baithe hue hain, before we die, at least hamare haath se, 10 people must become Muslims. How many? Oh, you look so weak, inshallah. Muhammad, what are you? You should be the first one to stand up and say, inshallah. You're always traveling. I'm sure you must have, there must have been so many, mashallah. Allah give you jazai khair. And also, mashallah, the brothers who are working in Jamaat Tabligh, Allah give them jazai khair. You know, with all respect, this is not an easy work. Also, going in the house of Allah and sleeping there, this is also jaddo jihad, and these are the works of our kabirin. But I am saying to you now, the halats have changed. When Maulana Ilyas was there, the halat was different. Allah is saying, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. If we are not going to wake up now, when are we going to wake up? We are one ummah. We have to give da'wah to these people. If we are not going to give da'wah, even right now, the Muslims in South Africa living comfortably, the Muslims in Zambia living comfortably, Malawi, and every part of Africa, you will see things are going to change very, very, very fast, very, very quickly. Why? Because we are not fulfilling what the Arabs were doing. What the Arabs were? The Arabs, whenever they want, da'wat was in their blood. What was it? Da'wat was in their blood. So when they would see somebody who is not a Muslim, they would do business, they would stay there, they would do everything, and then slowly take out time, befriend them. In fact, they would go to the extreme that they are going to stay there, marry there, do everything, but the whole village should become Muslim. If you look at history, when the whole of Spain became Muslim, the whole of the northern tip of Africa entered towards the southern part of Europe. They got into Europe and they stayed there, bas hame to yahan rehna. And all of them became Muslim, majority. Subhanallah, this was the effort. Today we just want money, 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 business, money, 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 business, business. Bas yehi easy life. And in the evening we just come, chal isha ki namaz, palli mashallah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bas, is this our sacrifice? Is this our sacrifice? Is that all? We do earning business and we come and Allahu Akbar, bas finished. Are bhai, see somebody who is a non-Muslim, talk to him, give dawah, you yourself learn, educate yourself, put yourself in that field. MashaAllah, if you can't do it, then connect him to somebody. These are the things we have to do. Don't think that these are something very minor. Ye sabse bada kaam hai. And then number two, our business should be very clean. Our business should be very, very clean. In a country where we are a minority. Ulama said, our business should be very clean. Number three, our akhlaq should be the best. Our akhlaq should be the best. You see that one Muslim man from Leicester went to Dubai and he showed the middle finger in Dubai and they are going to put him in for 6 months. I'm not going to show you the middle finger. But he showed the middle finger in Dubai and they are planning to put him in for 6 months. By, you have to be very careful when you are traveling. Any part of the world, the laws, you have to know. And so, mashallah, our akhlaq should be the best. Allah, make me also good and you also good. And then Hazrat also said that look after your children, your family. These are the things that we have to look after. So, what we learn from Hijra, number one is, what do we learn? Sacrifice. And number two is brotherhood. And number three, finishing very quickly. Number three is that what we learn from Hijrat is that victory is for the Muslims all the time. Victory is for the Muslims all the time. Can I ask somebody here, what is the definition of victory? Muhammad, you tell me, what is victory? Oh no. Victory, in English, victory, what does it mean? Very quickly. Generally, victory would mean that you defeat your enemy. You defeat your enemy. The enemies are vanquished. This is what victory means. But in Islam, this is not the meaning of victory. Please remember this. And you will always be happy. Always be happy. In Islam, victory does not mean this. I'll give you an example. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw a dream that he is doing Umrah, and all the Sahaba were ready, and they said, oh, Allah's Nabi saw a dream, he's doing Umrah, so we will put on Ihram, and they left Medina, and they came with the intention to do Umrah. And then the mushrikeen of Makkah prevented the Muslims from doing Umrah. And they stopped. And we remember Sulh Hudaybiyah that took place. And then they said, no, one representative must come. And then Huzur alayhi salam says, my representative is Uthman. And they sent Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an. And they said to Hazrat Uthman, you can do tawaf. And he said, no, my Nabi has not done tawaf. I won't do tawaf. And then it was, rumors were there that he has been assassinated. And the bay'ah that took place under the tree of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, all that happened. But then what had happened, this was a dream of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sahaba were energetic. First time coming to Makkah Mukarrama and are going to see Kaaba. And they felt that this is the dream of the Nabi. And, you know, this is victory for us. This is. Now, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, okay, now there is a truce between the Muslims and the Mushrikeen. So we are returning back. So we are returning back. Outwardly, this looks like a failed mission. Outwardly, it looks like a mission that is failed. But the Quran calls it fatha. What is it? That victory is for you. In fact, the verses were revealed, inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. This is fatham mubina. This is victory for you. Now, what is victory? We were wanting to do tawaf, and we are not doing tawaf, not doing umrah, and Allah is saying, go back. Allah's Nabi is saying, go back. Nobody wanted to take off the ihram. Allah's Nabi had to take off his ihram first, and everybody then started taking off the ihram. And they all went. The Quran calls this victory. From the outset, what victory? No victory. But the Quran is saying victory, because this paved the path to Fath-e Makkah. Why? Because in the Quranic language, victory means that whenever you are steadfast upon your deen, you are victorious. What are you? So the Muslim ummah can suffer. They can burn the villages. They can do whatever they want. Whatever zulm they want to do. Tum taqat azmalo. Jo karna ho kar lo. Do whatever you want. As long as this ummah is steadfast on their deen. As long as they are steadfast on their deen, this is victory. This is victory for us. So no matter what the condition that you say, we may cry, Syria, this is happening, Palestine, this is happening, Rohingya Muslim, this is happening. Of course we can cry, and we do cry, and this is what is happening. But at the end of the day, the Quran is saying from Hijrah, learn your lessons. The things you have to do, victory will be yours. But victory will only come if you are steadfast. What are you?
Steadfast.
Steadfast. And that is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that, Al-Muhajiru man hajara al-khataya wa-dhunub. The person who does hijrat, a real muhajir, is that person who does hijrat, migrates from a sinful life. From a sinful life. Does tawbah from guna and sins. And then you see, and if this ummah becomes steadfast, you will see, my respected brothers and elders, that everything will change. Allah give us all the tawfiq, inshallah. Just for 2 minutes, if we can do muraqabah. And my message to all of the brothers, please, mothers and also sisters, from now on, we want to be active in dawah with the non-Muslim community. Karenge yani? Haath uthaye karenge. Sab karenge. to your best ability, to your best ability. And we need to spread this as much as we can. And you will see, inshallah, if we start doing this, and then you will see Allah will open up the doors of Iman and Islam everywhere, inshallah. 2 minutes ke liye muraqaba kar le, aankh band kar le. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا الله یہ نوجوان کا مجمع یہاں بیٹھا ہوا ہے اللہ ہم سب کی مغفرت فرما دے اللہ ہم سب کی مغفرت فرما دے یا اللہ جمعہ کی رات ہے یا اللہ قربانی دے کر یہ سب لوگ یہاں بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں اللہ محض تیری رضا کے لیے بیٹھے ہیں اللہ محض تیری رضا کے لیے بیٹھے ہیں یا اللہ ان کے بیٹھنے کو قبول فرما اللہ کریم ہماری ذریت کو سیدھی راہ پر رکھ اللہ کریم ہمیں جنت الفردوس میں جگہ دے اللہ کریم اللہ کریم تیرے دین کے دروازے کو یا اللہ یہاں کھول دے اللہ کریم تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اللہ کریم جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا دے اللہ کریم ہم سب کو توفیق دے تیرے پیارے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سنت کی اتباع کرنے والے ہم بن جائے اللہ کریم ہم سب کا خاتمہ بالخیر فرما ہم سب کا خاتمہ بالخیر فرما وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وازواجہ وذریاتہ واہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم